The king is here. The kingdom, therefore, is at hand. And he said it over and over, and so did John the Baptist. This chapter, this particular story, is that story chosen as the first miracle that Jesus did in Matthew, hear me, to present him as king. This, therefore, is a story that shows us whereby the king's authority is being demonstrated. It's one thing for me to tell you, hi there, fans, I'm the Messiah, the uncrowned king. Words are cheap. Show me proof. Now, I want you to see, you hear what I'm getting at. Now, listen. What more proof could you ask for than this one? No man has ever healed a man of leprosy. And here comes a man presenting himself as Messiah King. I want you to see the leper. We don't know how. Perhaps he's just heard of Jesus. Perhaps he has gotten close enough to Jesus in some crowd, maybe out in the countryside behind a rock. We don't know. Maybe in a city, in an alley. But somehow he has heard of Jesus. And what he has heard has convinced him that Jesus, hear this, is the King, that he's the Messiah, that he's God come in the flesh. How do you know that, Floyd? By what he did. Now you hear me carefully. The reason I am emphasizing this so much is so many times I read in the religious section of the newspapers in this area and over in Houston. Every now and then I like to get nauseous, and so I'll read them. And they are always saying things, and they'll quote lost preachers that are very religious. Oh, they look much finer than I do in their regal robes and their collars. And they'll say, now, we don't see ever in the Scriptures that Jesus claimed to be deity or that Jesus did it. We don't understand why people want to make such a to-do about this. No story ever demonstrates that the Bible teaches his deity more than this. This man said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. You can cleanse me of my leprosy. Whoa! What a statement! Incredible! No man's ever done it. But he said, Jesus, you can do it. This man has heard. There is what incredible faith. I want you to understand, therefore, he has not approached Jesus as a prophet. No prophet has ever pulled this off. Do you hear me? Moses never did it. Elijah, Elisha, Daniel, come on, Zechariah, none of these men, Isaiah, none of these men have ever healed a leper. Now, you've got to admit, I've named some big boys now. When that bunch have never done it. Abraham, no. Do you see that in this man's mind, Jesus was totally unique and far above anything he had ever heard of? You know, to a Jew, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand that to a Jew, beloveds, there's nothing higher than Moses and Abraham other than God? Do you see what I'm trying to tell you? This man has approached Jesus as deity. The story demands it. What he says demands it. He has fallen down, and it says in chapter 8, verse 2 of Matthew, he worshiped him. Whoa! The first commandment is worship God and him alone. Yet this man falls down in worship. Now, I should throw out right here that there's a cult around called Jehovah's Witness, among many others. And they say, well, this word doesn't mean worship. Some of you may even have a Bible in your hand that's not the King James. And as you read this, maybe it doesn't say in your Bible. That's one reason I gave you a handout so you could see what the real Bible says. You might have a Bible in your hands that says, he paid Jesus homage. I want to show you that the context says that that's a lying translation of the word. The Greek word here that's been translated is proskuneo. It's a Greek verb. Jesus himself said to us in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, worship Jehovah, and him only shall you serve. Now, after Jesus said that, he himself accepted worship many times. Moreover, when the wise men came, Mary and Joseph allowed them to worship baby Jesus. They didn't say, oh no, don't worship our child. Worship Jehovah only. They knew who this baby was, and so they allowed worship. This was the God of the Old Testament come in the flesh. God had come in the flesh. Now, what's being said then? Well, among other things, in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius came, sent for Peter. And when Peter came, Cornelius fell down on his face to worship Peter. Peter said, don't do that. Now, for those of you in here that are Catholic, let me just tell you straight out. According to your doctrines, which I don't agree with, Peter was the first pope, but Peter, quote, your first pope, said, don't bow down before me. See that you do it not. I am only a man. Worship God only. Stand up. Therefore, if any of your popes after that teach you otherwise, they're going against, quote, the first pope. Moreover, in Revelation 22, John, the Apostle John, so overwhelmed by the majesty of the revelation that he had seen, and this, and the awesomeness of this angel before him, fell down to worship the angel. And the angel said, see that you don't do that. Like you, I am only a servant of God. Worship God only. Get up. And so my point is that here we see Peter and an angel refusing to accept worship, and yet Jesus accepts worship. Now, the question is, though, should the Greek word, the Greek verb, proskuneo, be translated worship, or, as many other Bibles say, bowed down, paid homage, knelt, even some of them say made obeisance, etc. I want you to see that to translate it any other way than worship is a direct attack on the deity of Jesus. Okay? Now, this attack is not warranted in the Greek, and you guys aren't Greek experts. My point is, now listen, I want you to hear me. I'm going to explain it to you in Greek just to protect you. But then I'm going to show you once again that you don't need to know one word of Greek. That the English, if God gives you the grace to see the context, you can tell in English that it's worship. All right? So that no man can bring down your faith. This word, proskuneo, appears 59 times in the New Testament. In every single place that it's talking about anything other than what men are doing to Jesus, all the translations, even the Jehovah's Witness Bible, the New World Translation, they all faithfully record the word as worship until it comes to Jesus. Then suddenly they have intellectual problems and can't seem to find their way to bringing themselves to use the word worship, but say they paid homage, made obeisance, bowed down, knelt down, etc. Now, let me just say that this word, proskuneo, is used in the New Testament. In others, I might add, it's the word that's used more than any other Greek word in the New Testament to describe worship. It occurs 59 times. The second largest Greek word occurrence is only 3 times. You know, another word that's translated worship. It only shows up 3 times. This is the Greek word for worship, if you please, in the New Testament. Now, in other places in the New Testament, the same word, proskuneo, is used to describe that which people offer to Satan in Revelation 13:4, the beast, that is the Antichrist, in Revelation 13:15, and several other places. It's the same thing used to describe what people are offering to demons in Revelation 9:20, to idols in Acts 7:43, and to God uniformly throughout the whole New Testament. Now, the Hebrew equivalent of proskuneo is shakah. It occurs 174 times in the Old Testament. Normally, it's translated into some form of the word worship. It shows up 99 times as worship or worshiping or worshipped, you know, some form of the word worship. And it's the same word that's used with reference to the worship of God in the Old Testament, the worship of idols, the worship of demons, etc. I'm trying to show you there is no real reason in Greek to translate the word other than worship. But you don't need to know all that Greek. If no one has ever healed a leper but God in the entire Old Testament, and that is true, and if this man comes to Jesus and said, "Jesus, if you will, you can heal me," is a clear declaration that in this man's mind, he regards Jesus as Lord God come in the flesh. He would have never said this to anyone if even Moses and Abraham had never accomplished such a feat. Do you see what I'm getting at? Do you see the power of this story? Do you see? Listen, and I'm saying this to you to encourage you and at the same time to shame you. Okay? Don't raise your hands. I mean, you know, I don't want to shame you like that. But see, the truth is, probably few, if any of you, have ever noticed this about this story. What a tremendously powerful declaration this story. Hey, we've only read one verse. We read one verse in Matthew 1. Come on now. I'm just trying to show you the power in the Scriptures. We've read one verse in Matthew, the same verse, okay, in Mark, and the same verse in Luke, and we've been teaching a long time now because it's so pregnant with things about Jesus. And we're not through with this verse yet. I'm just clearing my voice, all right? I'm getting in the mood to teach this verse. Now, twice, two accounts, the Matthew and the Luke one, I want you to observe that he refers to Jesus as Lord, Lord. I don't know how the man found out about Jesus. I don't know what it was that he heard that convicted him that this was the Messiah, God come in the flesh. You know, back in the Old Testament, when Isaac needed a wife, and Abraham sent his servant far, far away to Padan Aram, which is up in northern Syria, to seek a wife from amongst the people that they were kin to, their distant relatives. You'll remember that Rebekah, the girl that was selected, that Rebekah had never seen Isaac. See, I'm telling you people this because there's so much trash in the church today about getting the right mate and getting all uptight. You know, my gosh, it's the unpardonable sin if you don't marry the right person. Nya, 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 nya. And everybody, you know, you should court for at least 14.3 years first. You know, you've got to have 6 years of Bible counseling. Nya, 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 nya. I would just like to introduce you to real marriages in the Bible that made it. And the reason they made it was because they made absolute commitments to God in the marriage, not because, listen to me, not because they had all these things in common. I'd like to introduce you to the fact that Adam and Eve didn't even know each other 10 minutes. I'd like to introduce you to the concept that there wasn't any preacher around either with a white collar on to get them married. That the minute two believers had intercourse, they were married. Marriage in the Bible is not a ceremony. It's a physical act. In that Bible, when two Christians knew each other, and that means they had intercourse, they were married. Period. No preachers. I don't know how it ever got to be. See, the only you can't find preachers marrying people in the Bible. That's from paganism, and we just brought it on into the church. I've had people get mad at me for not marrying people. Said I wasn't doing the job of a preacher. I said, here's the Bible. Find that. Show me. I said, I'm a reasonable man. Show me. They're shocked. You know why they're shocked? They hadn't even read the thing yet. But boy, they can sure find fault with men that have. Now, I might add, there's no verse in the Bible that forbids me to do it. Isn't that nice? I'd like for you to understand that God makes a marriage. Not us preachers. Now, hear me so well, beloved. Hear me carefully. This servant that Abraham sent to find a bride for Isaac, when he showed up in Rebekah's hearing, he just spoke of how wonderful Isaac was to the point that she fell in love with him, having never seen him. You look me in the eye. I've come tonight to tell you how wonderful Jesus is. And the intent of my heart is that those of you that have never fallen in love with Him, I'm going to tell you so many wonderful things about Him that the Holy Spirit will take what I say as poor a witness as I am to His wonder, and that you will fall in love with Him. And even perchance some of you in here that are born again, but you really don't even have any concept of what I'm talking about when I say love Him. Because you say, well, how can I love someone I've never met, hadn't touched, hadn't seen, the same way Rebekah did. Exactly. Just by hearing a testimony of how wonderful this person is. And because of her commitment to God, to trust God, and because of Abraham's commitment to trust God, and Isaac's commitment to trust God, the Scriptures faithfully record that the moment she saw him, and the moment he saw her, he was in a field, and she was riding. And the servant says, there's my master Isaac. And the moment she saw him at a distance, the Scripture says she loved him and leaped down and ran to, and he saw her, and God put love in their hearts instantly for each other because of the commitments they made to God. Listen to me. Marriages don't fail. People come to me all the time with all kind of problems about marriage, and they tell me things. They're having sex problems in their marriage. Nobody has a sex problem in the marriage. It works. Males and females are built physically so that it works. There's no problem. The problem is spiritual. And the way we take it out on each other is physical. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you and your wife are right with God, you hadn't got a sex problem in your marriage. It's real simple. People always come up with all kind of problems as though there's something. Listen. If you're looking for the perfect mate, you young people in here, and you're looking for the perfect mate, if you found her, she wouldn't have a jolly thing to do with you. Get it straight. Quit looking for the perfect mate. You girls, if you're looking for the perfect man and you found him, why would he give you 10 minutes worth? You're so far from perfect. Let's get it down. Listen, if there's anyone that'll have you, rejoice in the Lord.
Go ahead.
Listen to me. The only thing, forget what I, listen to me. I'm trying to tell you scripturally, there was no such thing. They didn't know each other but moments. But they'd already committed before that. As Isaac committed to this marriage, never having seen the girl, knew nothing, he trusted that his daddy was walking with God. And they sent his servant off. I mean, there's two good examples right out of Genesis. Two of the first marriages mentioned in the Bible. No courtship. Just trusted God. You said, but I know people that have, you know, only known each other a few weeks or a few months. They got married and it ended terrible. It didn't end terrible because they only had a few weeks together, a few months to know each other. It ended terrible because they weren't committed to the Lord in the marriage. Shirley and I knew each other 3 months. We've been married 33 years, going on 34. I'm trying to show you it's got nothing to do. And we were heathens. I didn't marry her for spiritual matters. Now listen to me. I want you to see that this man knows a lot about Jesus, and yet he knows nothing. And that's why you're here tonight. That's why God brought you here. Because a lot of us in this room, we know a lot about the Lord, and we don't know anything. It depends on what you're talking about. I want you to see that this man was ahead of us Baptists. at least he knew God had the power and hadn't worn out. I want you to understand, but you see, he was like the bad part of too many of you Pentecostals. He believed God had the power. He believed in the power of God. See, we Baptists, we believe in the power of God for the olden days. But you see, he really didn't know much. Notice he says, if you will, you can make me clean. There was never any question in his mind that Jesus had the power. And only one man could have the power. Only one person could have the power to heal leprosy. From the entire Bible, it's God. He is acknowledging Jesus as deity here. That God has come in the flesh. Why not? He understood from the Old Testament that the Messiah would be God come in the flesh. So I want you to see that this man had a lot of faith in Jesus on one hand, but listen, but he missed something equally big. He didn't know the heart of God. He didn't know what God was really like. He believed God had great power, but he didn't know whether God's heart was toward him. After all, he did have leprosy. And I want you to see that he's done everything wrong. Listen. He clearly believes, acknowledging both by act and what he says, that Jesus is God come in the flesh. Yet he knows he is disobeying a direct commandment. Stay out of the city and stay away from people if you have leprosy. And cry out, unclean, unclean. You'd better believe the disciples when they saw it. It doesn't record it, but I just know they nearly jumped out of their skin when they see this leper just suddenly in the midst. Whoop! Wow! And so the point is, the man didn't know God's heart. And so we're going to see here the king's authority demonstrated that he has authority over leprosy, over anything. Because see, if he can cure leprosy, which no man has ever cured any man of, then he can do anything. Moreover, this is the one that created the heavens and the earth in the twinkling of an eye. And all life. And all order in the universe. He doesn't know God's heart. What he's saying is, Jesus, are you willing? I know you've got the power, but what is the essence of God like? I wish now that I hadn't read the story to you. I wish I would give anything if none of you had ever read this story or anything in here. I wish I had absolute illiteracy before me. Because I would see, to me, the most precious thing that could happen is for me to have explained all this to you. And maybe to have had a 6-week seminar of teaching everything in the Old Testament about leprosy. Because if I had, right now, I'm bringing this down one line at a time on an overhead projection, the story. And when you see that this guy leaped out there at Jesus and bowed down before him and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean, you'd all be horrified. Why, he isn't doing it right. So that we could then ask ourselves the question, well, what's God going to do now? What is God's attitude about this sort of thing? The letter of the law. You know, God's got a lot of lessons to teach us. I find that I learn best quite often when I'm desperate. This man certainly was desperate. You know, when you're desperate, you're even willing to go against the flow. What looks like to many others that you're sinning, somehow you just know in your heart you're not. Because listen to me. Rebellion, which is the root of all sin, is not just what you do, it's what the motive is. I'm trying to tell you something. This man may be going against the letter of the law, but he's not rebellious. He's desperate. And he believes he is addressing the lawgiver. And he is. And even though he isn't sure what the heart of God is like, he's so desperate, he's willing to gamble to find out. He knows breaking the law as he's doing, he could be banished forever. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? I mean, listen, though he isn't sure of the heart of God and the nature of God, he's willing to gamble that it's compassionate and loving. But he doesn't know. If you will, I don't know what you're like. If you will, are you willing? What is your heart like? Yeah, I wish none of you had any idea what was going to come next. I would like to just leave you right there and make you all meditate for about 5 minutes. And even, yes, to write down on a piece of paper what you think the next verse will read like. Do you hear what I'm saying? That would be wonderful for you to have to do, knowing nothing of God. And you write it down, why he'd turn that sorry, no good sinner into a kumquat and burn him in hell forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. See, because I know we laugh at that, but I want you to understand, many of you have been in churches and you've heard preachers preach, and that's almost the view of God they gave. But you see, the wonderful thing about reading the Bible is you can find out what God is like. And we hadn't even gotten past two verses yet. We're just starting. I'm trying to show you how pregnant just one verse in the Scripture can be. And how desperately we need revelation. We just finished verse 1. Oh, there's a lot more to verse 1. I just don't know anymore. Did you hear that? I've taught you most of what I know about verse 1. It took me an hour and 15 minutes. But I want to tell you, there's things that because of the hardness of my heart, God has not revealed to me. That God can take what I just gave you as a platform, as a foundation, and you go to God and let Him show you more. Okay? I'm excited for you. Verse 41 of Mark chapter 1. And Jesus, watch this, moved with compassion, said, "You've sinned, go to hell." Oh, excuse me. It doesn't say that. And Jesus, moved with compassion. Hear me. It doesn't say that Jesus said, compassion. The guy did it wrong. He did it wrong. But Jesus didn't say, you didn't do things right. You didn't play it by the numbers. Now, the way you do it, it's Leviticus 14. Come on. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to play it by the... The man had thrown it all on the line. Even though he wasn't sure, he was willing to commit his immortal soul to what God would do to him now. You know, that's one good thing about being desperate with leprosy. You can get to the point and place that, hey, God, kill me or heal me. God, save me or damn me, but don't leave me where I am. Some of you in here, if you don't understand that, hang around a few more years. It'll come to you. Because in your life, before it's over with, you're going to be there. There's a lot of people nodding their heads approvingly. And what it means is, we've been there, haven't we? We've been there. We know. And we know a lot of other people that are going through it right now. And one of the reasons why God let us go through it is so that we can help these people that are despondent right now that are going through it. See, what is the nature of God? What is the heart of God? Jesus moved with compassion. See, we know now. Put forth His hand. No, Jesus, you can't do that. You gave the law. You don't touch lepers. But He did. He's the lawgiver. He can do anything He wants to. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? I'm trying to show you that when situations are desperate enough, that the law, listen, the law is there as a guide. That's all. Let me give you an example.